Greetings, Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and this is Fat Guys at the Movies, and we've got a very exciting event show this week.
Event show?
I would call it an event, because it's going to be our last, we're in the Magical Studio in the Sky, which is kind of in shambles right now.
We're packing up the Magical
Studio. Magical Studio in the Sky. This is going to be our last in-studio.
We're escaping to Mexico.
We'll be doing the virtual Studio in the Sky for a while.
We'll get that one phone call a week where you're going.
Right. So, because I'm going on what I like to call the Neil Miller World Tour.
Or the Neil Miller Bohemian Gypsy Tour.
Yes, the Bohemian Gypsy Tour. I'm packing away all of my things and taking my laptop and going out on the road.
In other words, he's moving to Santa Monica and going to be homeless.
Yeah, actually, I've really kind of...
You're seriously considering
I'm holding that option open. As something I would do.
Just don't do it in an El Nino year.
Right. What?
It rains a lot.
Oh, right. I don't want to... No rain. I'm okay with mudslides, though.
Well,
but rain
kind of
has to come first, though.
Santa Monica doesn't really face mudslides. Malibu does, but you're way too poor to live in Malibu.
All right. Well, on this show, in this event show, we got Brian Gibson with us.
Show enough.
Howdy.
He's from filmschoolrejects.com. And,
he's off the Country Music Awards.
I have a snake in my boots.
Hey, y'all. He's been on the show before, so you know Brian. You know me. We've got beer in hand.
The question is, do like our fans who've recently been calling in.
Yes.
And we have no idea if we got any voicemails.
We'll check it during the break here.
We never do. He says it, we never do.
Yeah, but if you'd like to get a hold of us and have us not listen to your phone call or... read your emails or anything like that, you can hit us up, fatguysthemovies.com. You can go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys the Movies, or just search Fat Guys, because it's just us and some kind of wellness for fat people podcast.
And no one wants to listen to that.
Right.
No.
So if you had to choose.
It's depressing and self-loathing.
Exactly. If you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, and of course the voicemail number, 614-388-8735. A couple programming updates.
Not that it's going to do any good.
Yeah.
Number.
One is if you're on iTunes, definitely go and give us a review. I think in the internet
and
only...
write a good review this time.
In the internet only segment, we're going to read the negative review that we got, which I was entertained by and enraged by. So if I figure out who it was, I'm going to come and fight you.
I came into his apartment and found him naked, slathered in baby oil in a fetal position on the floor.
Wasn't it signed to Alex B.
from firstshowing.net?
He's just mad that you also got quoted in the Hellright ads.
Yeah.
On the
Also, another programming note, if you go to fatguysthemovies.com, we've got some cool new weekly stuff. Kevin, you're posting up some audio reviews.
Yes.
And we're going to be posting links to our written reviews. So all of Kevin's written reviews will be linked there.
And at some point, we'll also post Crazy Lakes Connie wrote a top 10 list for us that we were real delinquent on putting it up or anything.
Really, we're going to be putting up more content on Fat Guys the Movies.
Yes.
Maybe some individual interviews. Like I know we did an interview with Bruce Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're only going to play clips, you know, when we do it for the show. And then we'll put the full interview online so you can go and hit that up and whatnot. So,
and there'll be nude pictures of us.
There already is a nude picture of you.
Not totally.
Close enough. So check out fatguysatthemovies.com.
Although, funny thing about that picture on Fat Guys at the Movies is I do radio calls all over the country, and I've been doing some for Halloween, and when W came out, a lot of the talk stations.
And they love your costume on the site.
Literally everyone is like, and what's funny is sometimes people would be like, no, which one's you? Are you the one... You're the one on the right or the left? And I'm like,
I'm the one
with no clothes on.
You,
and they're like, oh.
Are you the one who's naked or are you the one flicking everyone off?
And the Vulcan flick off. Whereas now the response I get is just people, I must have a reputation because no one even asks anymore. They're just like,
oh,
you look so sexy. And I'm like, oh, yeah, just wait, search. Wait till I take my naked pictures of myself and send them to Zac Efron on my cell phone.
And then his cell phone gets hacked. And the person who hacks it just commits suicide right there. They're like, ah!
Their eyes melt.
Yeah, because they thought they were going to get Vanessa Hudgens, but they get you instead.
Yes.
So. Anyways, we're going to talk about some movies here this week.
Thank God.
The first one.
Is that what you guys do here?
Yeah. The first one is The Haunting of Molly Hartley. A girl's mother sells her soul to the devil without her permission. I can't do this.
Or some such rot. We don't know because they didn't screen it.
Dad, I need you to come pick me up.
Are you safe?
Yeah, I'm safe.
I'm leaving right now.
The darkness is coming for you.
Molly! Let me save you! what you are.
Is it too late for me?
I know the truth. I have to find a way to stop it. No, don't help me! You can't let them take me!
You've always belonged to us.
And there you have a clip.
Which has, who is it, Chase Crawford from...
Yeah, from Gossip Girl, Gossip one of my Girl. Favorite shows.
You're a huge fan of that.
Big fan. Actually, Chase Crawford's a pretty...
pretty hot guy?
Crappy actor, actually.
I thought we were going to go, you're like, you know, Chase Crawford.
He's actually...
I'd like to slather him up in baby oil
it's
again.
It's funny because, like...
Cocoa butter.
I would say of all the young cast, there are a couple actors who are pretty good in that show. You know, like Penn Badgley's pretty good, and... the guy who plays Chuck Bass is awesome.
You know way too much about Gossip.
And Chase Crawford is pretty terrible as an actor, yeah. So that would be a reason to not see this movie. Other reason is because the fat guys get to give it a preemptive suck.
Preemptive suck, and it's rated PG-13.
Brian, what's your grade for this?
I haven't even heard about this movie.
You have to give it a preemptive suck.
You must. I'll agree with you, though.
Join the party. Well, no, it's...
I've seen a poster.
We've had to defend the whole preemptive suck thing.
We have. Recently. People have questioned whether or not preemptive suck is a valid grade, but...
It is. Totally. I mean, if the studio, it doesn't matter if it was like Godfather Part 2, if the studio's like, I don't want you critics to see it.
Right. There's got to be some kind of reason.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Well, let's move on.
To The Changeling.
Or just Changeling.
Just Changeling.
Yes. Angelina Jolie wants her son back, directed by Clint Eastwood.
Why are you doing this, Mrs. Collins?
You have stopped looking for my son.
Why should we be looking for someone we've already found?
The mayor wants this to go away.
You can't do this.
No. You are to convey the prisoner to the Los Angeles County General Hospital psychopathic ward.
I want my son back! I want my son back!
You saw this.
Yes, I did.
I skipped it because it was like 7 hours long.
Well, yeah. Well, it's 2 hours and 20 minutes long. And this is what I hate about award season is there's two things that I just loathe about award season movies. First of all, they're way too long.
Right.
You know, this one's 2 hours, 20 minutes. And easily could have been 2 hours.
And then they feel longer.
Well, they feel longer. And then this is like, let me start it off by saying it is a good movie. It's well made and it's worth seeing. It's hard to watch, especially if you're a parent.
But the grade is totally sucks.
No. It's sort of a kind of rocks. But
okay.
But the thing is, this movie.
Sorry,
it's
I
like
just made
they,
you spoil your grade.
It's like they had this nice little script about these historical this mystery and murder that went on in the 1920s, and then they got Angelina Jolie attached, and she's like, there's not enough meat in this for me. Can we beef it up a little bit? And so they have just a lot of scenes of her screaming and crying, and she looks like she's a cancer patient.
She almost got everything she wanted because she also wanted the son to be African.
She wanted.
And they were like, you know, that wouldn't have happened in the 20s.
So she's a good actor, but it's just you're just like. Like the first half is about her, and then it kind of deviates from her story,
right?
Like for like 45 minutes, and then it comes back to her. So if it was less about her, it would have been more interesting.
I see what you're saying.
And then Jeffrey Donovan from Burn Notice, who's normally
I'm
awesome.
Very disappointed with this part.
He's
of your
terrible.
Review.
He sounds like Edward Gene Robinson. He sounds like he's from.
He needed
some
to
old...
do. He needs to do voiceovers.
Can,
in the
can
movie.
I hear an impression?
Oh, he's like the guy who's like, ah, see, you're just a woman, and that's why this happens. And you know, I mean, and you're just like, whoa, he doesn't sound like anybody sane. You know,
he needed to, like, in the middle of the movie, come over and be like, in order to be successful in the spy business.
In the spy game, you like to have cell phones are really cheap and easy to use to record people.
Did at any point did he, like, just start eating yogurt randomly?
No, he did not have any yogurt. God, man. No.
So disappointing because I love that show.
Next time,
anyways,
Changeling 2.
What's your grade? And we got to go to a break.
Kind of rocks.
All right. Kind of rocks. We'll be back. And we're back here on Fat Guys and Movies, and I just wanted to take note, this show is brought to you by Gordon Biersch, Hefeweizen, and what's that beer called?
Leinenkugels.
Leinenkugels, and we also have my cool Homer Simpson can opener, or
bottle opener.
You don't need a can opener.
You can probably stab a can with it, too, but it makes, Homer Simpson talks to you when you open a beer bottle, so I think that's cool.
Yes.
Okay. So, anyways, moving on, speaking of things that are offensive, our next movie is Zach and Miri Make a Porno. In this one, Zach and Miri need money, so they make a porno.
You don't have the rent? It's your month.
Why are you always bending over backwards for that girl, knowing she ain't giving up no
love? We got a good thing going, man.
Why complicate that with sex?
What the? What happened to the water?
They shut it off.
Help me get this out of my hair. Just use the water out of the toilet.
These are the exact circumstances people find themselves in right before they start having sex for money. What, you got an idea?
We could make a porno.
Not the idea I was looking for.
This is Kevin Smith's new movie. I was excited about this, man.
Yeah, this one. Well, yeah, this. Do you want to take a first stab at this one?
Yes, it was very funny, very raw, very inappropriate. It was probably the movie that Kevin Smith should have made instead of Clerks 2, in my opinion. Because Clerks 2, while it was funny, it was good. It was, you know, solid. It wasn't the movie that I think his fans wanted coming out of Jersey Girl, despite the fact that Jersey Girl was a fantastic film. And for all you people that don't like Jersey Girl, just...
including Kevin Smith.
Go eat yourself.
Wow.
That's right. I said it. But so I thought Zack and Mary Make a Porno is really, you know, I mean, sure, the love story is kind of forced and it...
You're already starting to defend yourself.
It's not perfect, but it's there because otherwise it would just be a raunchy movie. Which
we'll see. And this is where I have to say that's my criticism of it is the love story.
Coming. I tried to spoil that.
I know.
You.
Yeah, but the thing is, the love story was so it wasn't out of place. It was just, I thought, unnecessary. I would have rather
it
just
was
had,
a little awkward.
I would have just rather had raunch from beginning to end.
But there was plenty of raunch.
There's plenty of raunch. No, don't get me wrong. This one, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised it got slapped with the NC-17 initially, and they got it on appeal. I mean, this is one, like, Clerks got it.
There's some really poopy moments in it.
Yeah.
Some really dirty stuff.
Yeah.
Some people just really kind of take it in the face in this movie.
Yes. You want to? Yeah. Nope. Else?
Any more innuendos that we can squeeze out? And you want to go a little deeper with that, Neil?
The one thing I was really...
No, it's really what pops out that matters.
One thing that I was railing against this movie beginning because I'm like, look, if this thing's going to be R-rated and it's about a porno, we better see more than just Seth Rogen's man.
You were hoping for lots of Katie Morgan.
Yeah.
And you got it.
Plenty of Katie Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You also get plenty of Jason Mewes in the end.
Yes, so. Exactly.
In the end?
Literally. Okay, this
oddly
one is
enough.
This is a segment that does go on the radio
in
Wyoming.
This is why I'm speaking in innuendo.
Yes, exactly.
I have not said anything directly about...
That's right.
But Zack and Mary, I think if you're into Kevin Smith's movies, if you enjoy kind of that raunchy humor...
Kinda.
It really is. It's definitely worth seeing.
Yeah. I thought it was hilarious. Justin Long is the funniest part of the movie.
Mm.
Easily the funniest part of the movie.
See, I picked a different supporting character. I like Craig Robinson from The
okay.
Office.
I'm
he's
not
very
a fan
funny
of him.
In the movie. He's Oprah Rich.
That's right.
Yep.
But I have to say it was very funny moments. I think I like better on the second viewing because it just the love stories generally I don't think Kevin Smith does them very well in my opinion because I didn't like Chasing Amy.
Okay.
And I'm in the minority on that one. A lot of people did. A lot of people really
I felt like
it was
like half Chasing Amy, mm-hmm. half Mallrats or Clerks.
Yeah,
like.
Well it almost ends very in sort of the same formula.
Mm.
So not to give anything away, but
we all know what happens at the end.
Yeah. And the other thing is that I'm not a big fan of Elizabeth Banks. And so
you're
I just
hater.
Like, she was okay. But I think it would have been, see, that's why I like Clerks too, because there was no story, there was no love story, it was just end-to-end raunch.
Right.
So, and right. I'm all into that.
That review is a mouthful.
Yeah.
Let's move on to something more wholesome.
Yeah, the next
one. Wait, you say Totally Rocks on?
Totally Rocks, man.
And I say, I'm going to say Rocks too, because I'll give it, it's definitely worth it. But let's move on to something more wholesome like Rock and Rolla. Neil's mom's boyfriend stars in Guy Ritchie's latest British gangster film.
What's it going to cost me?
7 million euros.
Call the accountant.
I need 7 million euros.
7 million.
What do you want?
You.
Dance?
You're a dancer.
Am I a dancer?
I've got some work. 7 million euros, and it won't be protected.
Is this a robbery?
Yes, it is a robbery.
Where's reverse?
You have to lift up the knob on the gear stick.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I have to... I'm going to start on this one because I had a lot of fun during Rock and Roll.
I like, heard you having a lot of fun.
It was really funny. Was,
I thought Katie Morgan was back there with you with that much fun you were having.
I thought it was Guy Ritchie's probably his funniest movie. It's not... You know, it's one of his gangsta
films.
Come
on, Sweat the Lay was hilarious.
And, and you... you know, and I really think that movies like Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels really, they have this formula where they're funny and then all of a sudden they kind of explode into these crazy shootouts. But in this case, it never really explodes with action.
It explodes,
but it is
into
very,
a giant chase scene.
Yeah, there's a really funny chase scene at the end. Or not even really at the end. It was kind of in the middle.
Sort of two-thirds.
But two-thirds I really thought that it was a lot funnier than those other two movies. And, you know, Guy Ritchie gives good gangsta. I think that's really the point. You can't argue with that, man. And Gerard Butler, very funny in the film. And
according to Gerard Butler, when I interviewed him, he said that his agent told him that when she saw that movie, she's like, "That is exactly you." She's like, "I just thought I spent."
It's actually the kind of person that you would hope that someone like Gerard Butler is, someone who really just doesn't take things that seriously.
He seems really cool, and I have heard from other people. Like I met Abigail Breslin's mom. And she was,
hung out with Abigail Breslin's mom.
While Abigail's Nazi publicist was trying to get us out of the room, they're swapping Gerard Butler stories with her mom, and she's like, "Oh, he's crazy. He'll do whatever, you know." So, it sounds like he's a really funny guy and comes out in the movie.
Really, really cool dude. And I thought it was, you know, good cast, good, really great soundtrack,
awesome soundtrack,
great opening title sequence.
Oh yeah, this is my only complaint about the movie is I thought that sort of like it got over directed in parts.
Oh yeah, there were some weird moments where like
it got its way.
It kind of turned into an acid trip.
Yeah, I mean, like there's a scene where like one of the characters is this rock star that kind of fakes his death and then goes and like hides out in an opium den for a couple weeks.
Right.
And he and there's a scene where he's in there getting high and it just kind of turns into a music video. And and before you know it, you're kind of like going, "Are we still here? This is just keeps going on." And it looks like I don't know what the relationship Guy Ritchie has with his cinematographer, but it's kind of like the cinematographer sort of took over.
They were making out at that point.
That's possible.
During the shoot. Yeah.
That's possible. Because, you know, hey, he's not making out with Madonna anymore.
He's a lonely guy.
No, he's making out with that other chick now.
Which one?
The girl who's in Sherlock Holmes, the hot British chick.
What, there's a lot of
Guy Ritchie. British. If there's anyone who doesn't need who's help hot? Getting some, it's Guy Ritchie.
Gemma Atherton, who plays June in the movie.
She's also in James Bond, which we're going to see this weekend.
And she has six fingers.
Hmm?
Did you know that?
I have 10.
Well, that's true. But not the, and I have just, a necklace of ears at
wait,
home.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
so
whoa. Still there. She has just six, or she has an extra one.
She was
on
born
one
with,
hand.
She was born with six fingers on one hand, or both.
Is it gone now? Or
yeah, they got rid of it.
Oh, I was gonna say like
they filed.
I have
down.
It.
We're going to see Quantum
I bought
of Solace
it on eBay.
Shh. We don't talk about appendages that we have.
That's right. It's actually, you know, it's actually illegal to sell body parts on eBay. Did you know that?
Really?
You can't sell your soul either. I tried.
That's true.
It didn't work.
Without your permission?
Yes.
So
to
Molly
the devil.
Harvey, yes. Molly
my mom did
mom.
It.
he's like, "Hey, you're under 18. I need somebody to co-sign for your soul."
Oh, jeez. All right. Speaking
kind
of things that are soulless and wrong, we're going to move on to...
Rock and roll kind of rocks.
I say totally rocks. I had a lot of fun. We'll move on to What Just Happened.
Real quick.
In which Robert De Niro stars as a Hollywood producer trying to keep control of his movies and his really twisted love life.
Ben, I've got a problem. Serious problem. Is he a final cut? I'll take the movie away from you and recut it myself.
Talk to me.
You're not gonna believe it. He's fat.
Bruce Willis is overweight?
With a Grizzly Adams beard.
If that bastard doesn't shave and look like a leading man, we sue you for misrepresentation.
Oh, Sidney, come on. Audiences want to know it's you, Bruce.
What are you talking about? They're not gonna recognize me, Ben.
Now, you saw this movie earlier, and I forgot you saw it.
Yeah,
so
I forgot that I saw it, too.
I'm going to launch into this one. This movie is like, it tries to be The Player, you know, that old Robert Altman film from the 90s. And it fails miserably. It has some really funny inside jokes for Hollywood, but if you don't get the inside stuff of Hollywood, it goes into this really weird, boring stuff with his life, and then it just sucks your life out of you.
Well, I agree that it is very inside baseball. So, like, if you've been around Hollywood, you're going to find some humor in it. But I really felt like it was two different movies. It was the first half was a very funny kind of look at the inside of the Hollywood business, the movie making business. And then the second part was his stupid love, like his stupid, I got to deal with all my ex-wives and my crazy daughter who's banging agents and stuff like that. So.
Well, and it also has this plot about this. They're trying to market a movie that nobody wants to see. Ironically, this is a movie I don't think anyone wants to see.
Yeah, I'm going to say it kind of sucks because I thought it was funny, but whatever. But anyways, we'll be back.
Tony Tune.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And as is customary around here, we're back.
We're sitting on the front porch saying, come on in. Sit with me for a spell and have a beer.
I'm about to watch my stories.
Oh, wow. Anyways, we're moving on to our indie spotlight section.
We went from like the porch swing to the ghetto. Just like,
what's that from?
What?
Stories?
Old people call like all their TV shows stories.
No, it's from a movie.
Laverne from Scrubs. Always called it her stories.
All right, cool. Anyways.
Don't you watch Scrubs?
No.
Scrubs is awesome.
We're talking indie
comes
spotlight.
Out, final season comes out on DVD.
We need to get serious here.
Okay.
This is a very important
game face, dude.
We are
game
never
face.
Goofy this is, and weird.
Well, game we face. Can't joke about this next one because it's our indie spotlight. It is a movie called Dear Zachary, A Letter to His Son About His Father. And we've actually
don't give
we've
anything
all seen
away because you have this tendency to basically just blurt out the end right. of a movie.
Well,
be like, let's go see Psycho. You know the one where Norman Bates is his mother?
It's a sled. It's a sled, okay? It's a sled.
Kills her with a sled?
Yeah. But no, so this movie is...
Or did he kill her with a sled hammer?
Shut up. It's a documentary made by a filmmaker. His name is Kurt Keene.
You're just like making this up. No,
no, no. No. He directed, he wrote, he produced, he... cinematographerized, he's composed and edited.
Thank you, Mr. President.
He basically, it was a one-man movie, and it's about his friend, what was the guy's
Andrew,
name in the movie?
Andrew.
And it's kind of a, his friend is murdered, and he goes out to make a documentary about him and learns some very disturbing things about it. And the guy, it's important to say that the guy has a son. Hmm. He finds out that his friend had a son that, you know, that he never really knew about, and he makes the documentary for the son, and it's
very there's a
sad.
Lot more to it.
It's really
seriously don't. I mean, this is a good movie. It's a very powerful movie,
especially for the circumstances in which this film was made, being basically one guy doing it all, and
but don't go see it on a whim.
Yeah,
you know, don't be just like, should we see? Should we see High School Musical 3 or Dear Zachary?
It's not a date movie, and it's really, and it's a very powerful film. And a funny story: Brian and I saw this at South by Southwest, and here we are, last movie of the week, and we were with Peter from Slash Film and Alex from First Showing down that, and we went to see it, and literally we were since it was our last movie, we were just kind of drinking away at the Alamo Draft House. And so by the end, we were not only drunk, but sobbing row of drunken idiots, I guess would be the best way to describe us. Because
which
you
usually,
don't,
when you go places, you're just not sobbing.
Because if drinking makes you sad, it made it worse. Yeah. Because this is one of those movies, if you're not like tearing up, crying at the end, you are soulless.
Yeah, I think the thing that stood out most was that by the end of the film, I mean, and you know, the theater was pretty full. Credits started rolling, credits ended, and still nobody had even moved.
Yeah, it is a heart stopper of a film.
Yeah, and I'll say this, and coming to it from a parent's point of view, because it deals with father, son, and greater family connections as well. I was sent an early screener of this, and I was watching it, and I was feeding and playing with and taking care of my 6-month-old child while I'm watching it, which is really impactful.
Right.
And then my wife came home, and I'm like watching the last 5 minutes, and then she's like, "Oh, what was that?" And I go, "I can't even talk about it."
Yeah.
And then I told like you know an hour or two later, I finally told her what it was about. But it's an incredible.
It'll get you, man.
It's a very powerful film, and it really kind of has this a lot to say about just the greater overall concepts of good and evil. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
You know, and it shows where there's just some serious problems in the Canadian judicial system.
It's very condemning of the Canadian judicial system.
Yeah. So when you talk to the people who are like, "Oh, I want to move to Toronto because they don't have any crime," it's like, well, they don't have any crime because they don't quite prosecute crime properly in certain provinces. At least that's what it appears.
I will say this: I think we talked earlier this week about between this and The Changeling. If you're a parent and you want a reason to go home and kill yourself, go see The Changeling and Dear Zachary.
Yeah.
And by the end of that, you'll probably want to cut yourself.
Remind everybody here, though,
that, or just go home and hug your child.
The film is a memorial. I mean, yeah. it's a memorial built for this man's child. Yeah. So
right.
There's a lot of positive moments. It's absolutely. You know,
it's really freaking sad, though.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster. Yeah. So,
but it's and what I found really interesting about it is I've done independent film, and this is not independent film the way like Pulp Fiction was an independent film right. where it's real slick. It just was made outside of the studio system. No, this is like literally a guy in a video camera.
Yeah.
And it's like the kind of things you will see if you go and you find your like independent film community in a major city, whatever city you live in, you find you're going to see this stuff. It's a shot on video, it's right. got some rough spots. It's somewhat uniquely edited.
Right. We'll but say. It really does a good job.
But it does it well.
A lot of times independent films is they really fail to stay focused yeah, and really will, fail to
doing an independent film for an hour and a half is tough.
Yeah.
And it has a lot to say.
So this one really really good, really, really well made, but very, very sad film. Yes. So, there you go. Moving on to something that we can make jokes about. Yeah. Let's talk about the box office. Let's talk about High School Musical.
Oh, I always stepped in a bear trap. You know,
High School Musical 3 making $42 million.
This is what I think so weird about Hollywood. of many things,
if there's one thing,
you know,
okay, let's go.
They like. The predictions for High School Musical were all over the map. People mm-hmm. were like predicting everywhere. I saw predictions from 30 million to 57 million.
I think you predicted 50 on last week's show.
No, I didn't say 50.
And I said there's no way.
I said it was in the 40s. It was just I was reading a site that said 57 million.
I just listened to the show the other day.
Okay, well maybe I did.
Whatever. I'm pretty sure that you made a strong argument for 50.
I said it could.
But I said like 10, so I was way off.
Well, but what's so funny is it's like people are then going like, oh, it didn't do that well. It didn't keep its audience. And you're like, it made $42 million in
October,
the end of October.
When everything else has been making like $15 million and winning the weekend.
Yeah, and so it still was a juggernaut. And it's going to keep its audience. It's probably going to still be
number
one.
It is a big sloppy slice of tween dynamite.
Was it really High School Musical?
But I will say this. Despite your best efforts last week, Kevin, to deter people from seeing this movie, Pride and Glory still made $6.3 million.
Which is not that good.
It's not great, but people still want to see it,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But it still was beaten by Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Nice. So what are we looking at this week?
That had its audience split with High School Musical.
I think the real question
is...
You
want to know what's really funny? Is Beverly Hills Chihuahua is a PG movie, I believe.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills and High School Musical is a G. So like Beverly Hills Chihuahua is harder edged than High School Musical 3.
Well, there's that dog kissing scene.
That's right.
It really kind of makes
dogs kiss or people kissing dogs.
People kissing dogs.
It's not like the Sarah Silverman program.
It's a weird bestiality scene in the middle of Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
She just noticed how much her dog liked to lick its own.
Wow.
So she gave it a try.
Whispering eye.
And then she got arrested.
Okay. Wow, you're referencing television.
Girl.
You're referencing a movie that doesn't come out until next week. What is wrong with you people? So let's talk about this week's box office.
Whoa. What do you mean by you people?
Let's talk about Zach and Mary Make a Porno. How much money is the porno going to make?
I don't think it's going to do well.
I don't think it's going to do crazy biz, but I think it'll make...
It's not going to be over.
I think it'll make $20 million. I think it'll make at least $20 million for two reasons. One, Kevin Smith fans are pretty rabid, and it's getting a lot of press, whether it's the controversy over some markets not wanting to show the word porno in the title, or whether it's just the sheer... this is probably the most marketed Weinstein Company film I've ever seen.
What about Grindhouse?
They tried, but
it was
I think...
marketed.
Grindhouse
was marketed.
I think Zach and Mary's going to do all right. I think it'll do 20, but I think High School Musical will probably still be number one.
High School Musical's going to be number one. And here's the thing with Zach and Mary. Kevin Smith pretty much has a $30 million cap on all of his movies. All of his movies make right around $30 million, for better or for worse. And I think that's what Zach and Mary is going to come out to.
You're right.
The controversy is going to work for and against it. But ultimately, I think.
Do you think Seth Rogen will have any? I mean, you think the fact that it has Seth Rogen in it will make a little bit more?
I think people are more offended at the fact that it has Seth Rogen and it has porno in the title than just it having porno in the title.
Right. Well, do you think like Seth Rogen is a draw for the movie? Because I think Seth Rogen's a pretty bankable dude.
He's a bankable dude, but I don't think he's. You know,
I think he'll push it. it's like not going to be $20 million opening weekend maybe, and maybe $40
million. I'm going to say 15.
Can he add $10 million to Kevin Smith?
I'm going
to
say 15 if he's lucky. Just because would you do it for a fan base like Kevin Smith's fan base, which is a very strong fan base?
Right.
So, and it's rated R, and so there's a lot of Kevin Smith fans who can't get into R-rated movies.
Right.
High school and junior high kids. Magnolia fan.
I think if we can get all like 10 of our readers or listeners or whatever they are to go see the movie like 12 times each.
Let's endear them to whatever you people are out there.
Well, listen, watch, read, whatever.
Taste.
Ooh.
You podcast lickers.
That sounds fun.
All right.
All of our tasters.
We just swerve into
I'm pretty
really
sure that we just said
territory.
Something very sexual about our fans.
Can I make an inappropriate joke?
The internet only segment's coming up.
Well, this isn't gonna have any swearing, but what if we did Dear Zach and Mary Make a Porno? That would be
It'd be a really sad movie with Katie Morgan in it.
Katie Morgan like, taking it where the sun don't shine.
Sun doesn't shine on a lot of
they had the curtains covering the window, so the sun didn't shine in the coffee shop where they make the porno.
Okay. All right. What are we going to talk about next? We were going to do a Bring On the Hype segment where we talked about the JCVD trailer.
That would be Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That has nothing
movie.
To do with What Would Jesus Do? WWJCVD.
Although
what would Jean-Claude Van Damme do?
Wow.
That's my new bumper sticker.
I want to get one of the bracelets. I want to have a W.
Let's make one for
it would go around. It would go around the whole bracelet.
I think it sounds like an idea.
We will market
but there
like
is
the
a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie out, so, you know, whatever. Go see it. We'll be back. We're going to do an internet-only segment. We got to go to a break. We're back. Internet only segment. I know we've missed this a couple of weeks in a row, but we're testing.
We're lazy and
well, we're testing the new virtual studio in the sky format. So, you know, it's complicated.
I can do it in my underwear.
Yeah. Thank
Isn't
God.
That the normal show. I
interviewed Bruce Campbell in my underwear. I'm admitting that right now.
Bruce Campbell called my cell phone today. So.
How did Bruce Campbell fit in your underwear?
I don't know. He's a big dude.
Anyways, we're going to start with a reader question in our internet-only segment.
Is it about my underwear?
Nope. It is about DVDs, and it comes to us from Mark in Plainfield, Illinois. I've never been to Plainfield, but I've been to Illinois.
D what?
What? DVDs.
D what?
DVD.
VDs? He wants to know about the
narrative. WWJC.
He says, I wonder if you guys could recommend any good special edition DVDs with great special features. Please don't include Blu-ray. I think that's directed towards me because all I watch is Blu-ray.
Yeah,
so.
Fuck Blu-ray. And I can say that.
So, Mark.
Fuck it in the ass and then yank it out and shit all over Jeff Anderson.
Wow.
That's what I have to say.
Wow. I think you just gave away a plot point to one of the movies we talked about earlier.
Yes.
Anyways, so, Brian, this is actually a good question for you because you own a lot of DVDs.
I do.
You're also a collector, so collector's edition, DVDs, special editions. I know this for a fact, and you have the credit card balance to prove it. So what are some of your favorite special editions?
You know, honestly, I like everything that...
just everything?
that Robert
everything
Rodriguez...
that plays in my DVD player.
You know, anything that Robert Rodriguez usually puts together because he does one nice thing for the fans, like on every single DVD. He always does like cooking school.
Yeah, and when you say nice thing for the fan, and the thing he doesn't do nice for the fan is he doesn't have the Jessica Alba nude scene from Sin City.
Yeah, well, but no, like
that's on the super special edition.
Yeah,
it like if you remember, what was it?
It's 10 minutes.
Once upon a time in Mexico.
Mm. He did the 10 minute film school or whatever.
No, it's 10 minute cooking school.
Yeah, and it's the sausage that Johnny Depp keeps raving about in the film. He teaches you how to make that. Yeah,
and they make the in Planet Terror the.
Yeah, the ribs or whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
The ribs
that
were supposed to be like the best ribs
or
in the
pork
world.
Or
the
pork.
And in Sin City, he does breakfast food.
We should do like the fat guys, what the fat guys eat.
Dude, I'm an awesome cook.
Mine will be like, go to Wendy's.
I've bought pie for you. I brought pie for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, like, you know, that was pretty weird, but it was good.
What do you mean pretty weird? Bite my ass.
Looks like molasses pie.
No, no, that was at an eating contest. Somebody else made that.
What was the pie that you brought?
I brought like an apple pie. And I brought a pumpkin pie last year.
Sure, that was really good.
Yeah, and I brought cookies, I think.
I don't remember.
You know, I have a lot. Like, Neil could probably attest for this. I have a lot, but I...
What's, like, the weirdest one, though? I mean, like, that people wouldn't say... Where you'd be like, you need to go see, you know... It's Under Siege 2 Special Edition is awesome.
It's the Gandhi one.
Okay,
that
like
came
how,
with the loincloth.
How about this? And this is one that you probably still can't find in stores, but you could find on the internet. Is Bring It On, the original edition, had a DTS audio track, which that DTS audio track is absolutely phenomenal.
Bring It On, like
Bring It On, like Kirsten Dunst, like cheerleader movie. Wow.
I have that DVD. I just turn the sound off and watch it.
Yeah, well,
Liza Dushku,
because they're
bikini.
Bouncing around.
I know, but that's it's like the double.
Who
you know,
cares about the sound in that movie?
It's a I mean, 1-2 punch. You
is
know?
It just a well good mix? Is that
yeah?
What you're
it's
saying?
A okay. It's a fantastic mix. If you're like a sound aficionado, I mean, that's you know one of the best, but probably one of the
Star Wars are really good for the sound.
Yeah, well, you know, another one would be Caligula. Which
again?
No.
Who cares about
what
the sound?
What was that sodomy movie?
No, I'm not talking about. I'm not talking. Oh no, that's Salo. 120 Days of Sodom.
Yeah,
big fan
of that one.
Yeah. Basically, in a huge orgy. Yeah, like there's midgets. It's crazy.
Midgets?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Awesome.
But
yes.
Is Peter Dinklage in this movie?
No. This movie was like 30 years ago. But anyways, the special edition DVD that just came out a little while ago has so much in terms of special features about. Penthouse and about Tinto Brass and like you know the editing room floor.
There's two that I covet within my collection. One is the
don't say Transformers.
No,
I will have
dude,
to
whatever. That's just like the greatest movie of all time. But it is a Michael Bay film, Armageddon. The Armageddon Criterion Edition.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Was really awesome. There's also The Rock. They did The Rock, which was very awesome as well. The other one was. Oh crap! Oh Fargo, the 2-disc special edition of Fargo is like really just a crap load of special features on that.
Can I throw another one out there real
sure,
quick?
Sure, why not? It's your world, man.
One of my favorite DVD features I've ever come across is the commentary track for Charlie's Angels 2. And I recommend everybody to go get this because it's not the commentary track. I don't know whether McGee does a commentary track, but this one's done by the writers.
Yeah.
And if you've seen Charlie Angels 2, it's a piece of crap. It's a terrible movie, and it makes no sense.
Ripping on it?
What?
Are they just ripping on it?
Well, what it is they explain how it came to be. And when you listen to all the crap that they had to go through, because it's like written by the guy who did Simon Birch, which is a phenomenal film. And so they're like explaining all, well, they're like, well, this scene, we had to do this scene this way because Lucy Liu was off filming Kill Bill and Matt LeBlanc had to go do Friends. And so we only had Matt LeBlanc and John Cleese. So that's why we did it like this and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The fact that you could follow it means it was brilliantly written. and they're like talking about how like, well, they wanted to do this and then McGee wanted to do this. And then Drew Barrymore came in and says, why don't we put this line in? And so they had these three brilliant writers just try and make sense out of it all.
If I can throw this in there too,
sure.
On the commentary track thing, one movie that the commentary track is exceedingly better than the movie is "Dude, Where's My Car." You can hear beers getting cracked open in the middle of it, and Sean Williams Scott.
I have no idea what that's like.
And exactly. I'm enjoying mine. But anyways, so that one is the commentary track is amazing. And then I would rather watch the commentary track.
Yeah.
And then Anchorman's commentary track.
Okay.
Is utterly fantastic. I mean, it's something like in the middle of it, Andy Richter stabs somebody, and it's great.
I'll tell you a commentary track that was awful that I would not recommend. And I love commentary tracks. I don't get to listen to them as much because I have to watch so much stuff. But like back before I was inundated with DVDs, I'd always like listen to all the commentary, like when I'm doing stuff around the house or whatever. And the movie. Rules of Attraction, which I didn't like anyways, has like four commentary tracks on it or five commentary. They are the most worthless commentary. One of them is done by Carrot Top. God knows why, because he doesn't appear in the movie. And it's literally him going, yeah, so they wanted me to do this feat. Oh, look, who's that girl? And it's like Jessica Alba. And she's like, oh, she's hot. I do her. And like that's like the entire commentary track. And then they have Shannon Sossaman doing a commentary track.
That's horrible.
And she's not the sharpest tool in the shed, let's just say. And so
or she's not the sharpest shed in the tool.
I don't even think
she's definitely not a rocket surgeon.
But like she's like literally they're talking about because apparently they were filming the movie when 9/11 happened. And so her and somebody else got off track and were talking about in the context of 9/11, but it is the most self-centered discussion of 9/11 ever because they're kind of like going, yeah, it was really kind of annoying because we didn't know what was going on. It was just like, like 3,000 people died violently that day and you were like inconvenienced.
My phone like didn't work.
Yeah.
And just, what was with that?
And she's like, yeah, it was just kind of stupid because we were all sitting around. You're just like, what are you saying? So yeah, avoid or watch it because it's.
Man, there was one more that I had that I wanted to say and I can't remember what it was now.
Bad Boys 2.
No, it wasn't Bad Boys 2.
Actually, the Memento. Memento was the two disc.
That came in the weird case where it was like.
When you put the second disc in, you actually have to take mental profile tests to get to each feature.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that one was pretty cool.
That's too much work.
There's a lot of cool ones out there. So
I hate DVDs that you have to like figure out how to get to.
Like the Da Vinci Code, you had to read the whole thing before you could open it.
Oh, you did? Well, like National Treasure. What?
You had to read the whole book.
Oh. Yeah. Whatever.
Oh, really?
Before you could watch the movie.
No, because there's one, like, National... Have you seen
It told you where to find a key, and then when you found the key, find the crest.
Well, no, the National Treasure one for National Treasure, you literally have to go through puzzles, and when you get through the puzzle, then you just realize if you just, like, push down and to the right, you get to this thing that just opens everything for you.
Anyway. Nice.
And you're just like... You hate it.
So there's a lot of good ones out there, I think.
Morgan's greatest tips.
Speaking of commentary tracks, I like any of Kevin Smith's commentary tracks. So.
He's funny.
He's very funny. So there you go, Mark from Plainfield, Illinois. There's some good ones
for
you.
We blew the entire internet-only segment on you.
Man, what else did we want to talk about?
We were
going
to talk about scary movies, but we scary just named
There was another thing that I wanted to talk about.
Great porno
for.
Movies and...
No, it wasn't that.
Sex
it was,
scenes.
No, it wasn't even sex scenes. It was something I wanted to...
Where you want to be licked?
Nope. Definitely.
I'll tell you where I want to be licked.
Please don't.
Somebody just told me like on the back of the knee is really sexy.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not going to do it to you, Neil. Don't even look at me that way. You've got way too much hair. I'd be like I was bathing in Robin Williams' forearms if I would have
licked. I'm not licking you anywhere, dude.
You better not. Just keep that tongue away from me.
There was something else I wanted to talk about.
Brian, different story.
Is there another email or something?
You're so prepared. Man. That's because you're editing the Film School Rejects webpage.
No, I should have wrote this shit down. I keep forgetting.
Why do you have an email from Michelle Obama?
She emails me.
He's a supporter.
Oh, it's not. No. Why does it say, look at my hot MILF pictures?
No.
He wanted to find out where she got that dress from. Target.
Every once in a while, she needs my advice.
Yeah. She's like, where should I be licked?
Once you go kneel, you never heal.
What? that I think is very appropriate. Yes.
All right. So let's do. It's Halloween. So it's going to be Halloween, or will be Halloween. Probably when people listen.
You might
to the
be
show.
Listening to this on Halloween.
You might be. Hopefully,
might be listening to it next Christmas.
So, I have two questions for Halloween. What is your favorite movie to watch on Halloween? And what is your favorite Halloween candy?
Clark Bars. I freaking love Clark
You like
Bars.
To watch Clark Bars? The first question was movies, damn it.
I just jumped to the food
Immediately
question.
Immediately it's
I jumped to the food question. No, Clark Bars are my favorite Halloween candy. That and candy corn. But the
Ew,
Indian
dude.
Corn candy corn, the one with chocolate in it. The brown
dude,
ones.
Dude, gross.
All right. Gross. But my favorite movie for Halloween? I don't know. I mean, Halloween. Halloween's one of the best. I mean, that's a no-brainer for me.
Right.
So, Exorcist is a good one.
I like to watch Ghostbusters.
Really?
That's about the scariest movie I can take.
That and The Great Pumpkin, right?
It's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Or The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
What's your favorite?
Damn Charlie Brown movie.
Well, you were also terrified of Poltergeist.
Poltergeist was I've never watched it. It's funny because I was actually talking to Gerard Butler's girlfriend about this, my mom. Mm-hmm. I have not seen Poltergeist since I was a child. I have a feeling if I watched it now, I probably wouldn't think that much of it. It's probably not that scary.
Can you make it through those DirecTV commercials?
Barely. The only thing creepy about that is the dead girl. Yeah. So,
she died like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's not that bad of taste because it's just referencing the movie.
Right. But I really do think that if she died
of AIDS by now.
If I were to watch...
If she got AIDS.
Wow.
I'm just saying, if she got AIDS. She died of heart.
Are you wishing AIDS on people?
She's dead. It's not going to hurt her.
But had I watched...
Well, hell, you can only get AIDS once.
Wouldn't it be... Do you think that there is a... They should open a an escort service with AIDS-only prostitutes for AIDS patients to go to?
Or like a special like herpes number.
Yeah, you can call it like Brian Gibson's AIDS.
Hey, whoa. None of that.
Brian Gibson's no condom.
This is slander.
Okay. What's your favorite candy?
What's your favorite candy?
I would have to say the Reese's Cups. The individual ones.
The little teeny ones?
What
was this? Regular. You're like, the ones that I get from the kids is tall?
No, you stack them up. You give me like 50 of them, and that was like my whole hobby.
I wouldn't have made...
I don't even know what's going on.
I could have never made a pile of 50 because it would have just continued.
Brian, it's your turn. Turn, damn it. Movie.
I don't know if I have a favorite. I just know that I despise candy corn.
I also hate candy corn.
Candy corn's like eating flavored wax.
It's awesome.
God, candy corn's like... kissing your dog.
What?
Your dog.
Your dog
asshole.
Tastes like candy corn? Can I take it home?
You should have never told Kevin that.
And make sweet, sweet love to it.
Oh, you candy corn puppy,
wow.
You.
We got two bestiality references in the same show. Freaking win, man.
So what candy do you like?
What's your favorite candy, Brian? Stop looking it up on the internet.
I did a quick Twitter poll. Haraldi chocolate.
Brian's trying to get polls off the internet. He's like, what's my favorite candy?
Milky Way, Snickers, what, man? Baby Ruth? Looks like poop.
In a swimming pool. I I'm not a huge fan of chocolate. So.
Skittles?
Really?
You like Skittles?
Yeah, you don't like candy corn. You're really narrowing your choices, dude.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I would like when they would give you like quarters. You'd go out.
Why, those
and, like,
taste delicious. Then you could buy your own candy.
It's like, so that I could buy wheat bread with it or something. You know?
I like sunflower seeds. But anyway,
what about movie? What's your favorite movie?
Oh, man. You know, like what movie that like terrorized me when I was little was Candyman.
Candyman?
Tony Todd.
Don't do it.
I'm not looking in a mirror, man.
He's around.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it tore me up when I was little.
Wow.
Yeah.
Philip Glass did this.
It was similar to what Taco Bell does to me.
Wow.
It tore me up.
Wow. I'll throw another one. The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing is one of my
favorites. I still have to watch that. I got that on Blu-ray. Oh,
it is so awesome. But what's funny is I always end up watching it at Christmas because I'm like up late at night wrapping Christmas
Are we
presents.
Talking like favorite horror movies or favorite thing to watch on Halloween?
Well, either one. I mean, that's why I say Halloween. Halloween isn't my favorite horror movie, but it's so...
I don't like horror movies, so we had to do the Halloween one, which is why I got to say Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a bunch of favorite Halloween movies. Horror movies.
But yeah.
What is your favorite, Kevin?
Favorite horror movie or Halloween?
Yeah,
favorite?
Or Hostel 2.
Horror movies is John Carpenter's The Thing, Alien, Exorcist. I love Phantasm. That's an awesome movie.
Yeah.
And Invasion of the Body Snatchers scared the piss out of me.
I like movies that get in your head a little bit.
Like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah.
And one that is slowly becoming a classic, although a lot of people don't like it, was Event Horizon. It's a great scary movie.
Really?
Have you ever seen it?
It was pretty scary. I saw it.
You'll probably hate it.
I wasn't scared by it. It was just kind of weird, creepy.
It was
kind of like Sunshine, Danny Boyle's Sunshine, where it was like...
Brilliant movie.
It was creepy.
Underrated.
Yeah.
It was just creepy, 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 and then it turned into a horror movie in like the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, Event Horizon's more... but it's directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, so if you don't like his stuff...
The other Paul
Anderson.
Alien
versus Predator.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I like older stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of my stuff is from the 70s. Like, if you were to say what... like, Texas Chainsaw, you can't beat that in terms of just visceral terror.
Yeah, that type of slasher.
The original, not the Michael Bay remake.
No.
And not the Renee Zellweger...
that complete mess of nothing?
Yeah, that was horrible.
We were going to do favorite sex scenes, but I don't think we can do that. All right, fine, we'll do it.
No, we don't have to.
My favorite sex scene of all time is the Diane Lane sex scene in Unfaithful.
I have to see that, because I...
God, I'll pull it up on YouTube for you, man. It is awesome.
Wow. Which one?
The one in the hallway in Unfaithful when she runs away from him and he chases her out in the hallway and just kind of grabs her from behind and just yanks her pants down behind. And what about original makes
Sin?
Makes it happen. I don't know.
I saw that on cable, so.
Oh, you haven't seen the unrated one with Antonio Banderas where he rails Angelina Jolie?
No. Zack and Mary has some pretty awesome sex scenes in it.
Really? It was okay. I like those sex scenes that, like, they don't even need to show a lot.
No, they've got to show. Basic Instinct has some good ones.
And you know what a lot of people told me that they liked after they read our list on Film School Rejects was, what was the Viggo Mortensen film directed by Cronenberg? History of Violence.
History of Violence. Yeah. Oh, the stairway scene with Maria Bello in the cheerleader outfit?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And I will agree with Risky Business. This is we did a list on Film School Rejects. Cole and Robert and Rob put it together, the 10 hottest sex scenes of all time, I guess. And they put Risky Business at number 2, and I thought that was a pretty good one.
That was
especially because I
when
saw
first,
that when I was younger.
When he first comes in, when she first comes over.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go totally different direction with,
with
that
the window,
sentence.
With there in the window and that kind of stuff. So I thought that one, they put Brokeback Mountain on here. That wasn't
because I think that the one glaring one, especially for this generation, that was missing was Wild Things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Yeah, I mean.
That's a populist pick, I think.
Like, I had to sneak into that movie.
Everybody
and
likes
it. It was
that
worth
one.
Every second.
It was awesome.
It was a terrible movie, but that scene was great. But I will
I
say,
liked Wild Things.
No, it was terrible.
You are an idiot.
It wasn't a bad movie.
I'm going to push you off your chair.
I mean, it had Kevin Bacon.
I will say probably
it had
one
Kevin
of the
Bacon's bacon in it.
One of
yes,
the
it did.
One of the sexiest movies I've seen is it did make their list as Secretary.
That's pretty sexy.
I have never been more turned on by Maggie Gyllenhaal in my life.
Yeah, because she's not
that
tremendously hot.
That was hot. It was hot. Deviant and hot.
Yeah. See, I'd have to think, because I think it would be a bigger challenge is what's the sexiest sex scene without showing nudity?
The Secretary had a couple.
Yeah,
where the
Secretary's up there.
You know, because they didn't show her nude until like the end. Who's that? Tracy Lords. We're looking at, there's another list that just kind of popped up is,
mainstream porno
porn stars cameos in mainstream films.
I wouldn't really call the Tracy Lord stuff cameos. Cameo is
you know,
like
you
a
know what I love
scene.
About that article though is go down to
the
paragraph that says Boondock Saints that's highlighted.
Yeah, Ron Jeremy.
Look at the second sentence and read that title.
Star of such adult film titles as Honey, We Blew Up Your Pussy Too.
I thought we were a family site.
That didn't have the integrity of Honey, I
Blew
Up
Your Pussy. Well,
it's
funny because we're doing...
they couldn't really get the same cinematographer.
They really sold out.
It's funny. What's,
Honey, I Blew Up Your Pussy
what's funny about all these... About
and
all
reprising
these
his role.
Honey, I Blew Up Your Pussy 7 was really cool because they brought back the original cast.
Yeah, Rick Moranis was back and...
But they got Bonnie Hunt. I don't understand it. Or was it Bonnie Cunt? I forget which one.
Well,
and it was Rick Moranis.
I have a really funny story about the whole Porn Week thing because, you know, if you visit filmschoolrejects.com, you know it's Porn Week because we're never ever going to get another opportunity like this again to
At
do
some
something
point, I didn't
porn
write
related.
Anything for this. I should have.
Yeah, but I've been working on moving the Magical Studio in the Sky to various different locales across the world. And so Cole Abias and Robert Fury and Rob Hunter have been putting together pretty much all the content that you're seeing on Film School Reject. I haven't written an article all week. And Cole actually asked me at one point, he's like, how do you feel about cursing on the site? And I said,
we have an article called What the Fuck.
I said, you know what? The only place I don't like it is in the titles because I don't like to because everybody reads the titles of the articles. Not everybody gets all the way to the article. So, but yeah, Honey, We Blew Up Your Pussy Too. That's pretty bold.
Yeah.
But hey, it's a medical term. So
you know, I will say
medical.
I want to
wait until I hear a doctor say, "Well, look at that pussy."
Yeah, when are you going to see the OBGYN going? Okay, flip up those stirrups and let me put my fingers in your cooch. No, you know what? I actually have to take issue with this article because I guess they do. They do mention Kobe Ty and Very Bad Things, but you know who I think they missed in this one is. Let me scan it really quick to see whether they have her in there. Would be in Willard, Ashlyn Gere has a
in Willard.
In Willard, Yeah, she plays like the older, because she's older now. Mm-hmm. Older, hot. Nope, it's not in there. They do, but they do have Kobe Ty from Very Bad Things, which was a pretty good cameo. And you know what? They also missed. They missed. What's her name? She was in Predator 2. And it was.
I'm sorry,
Tori Wells.
Predator 2.
No, Tori Wells. Tori, somebody or other. From she was in Predator 2. Did you see Predator 2?
Nope.
Have you seen Predator 2, Brian?
There was a second one.
You guys don't know Predator good 2. Cinema.
Who was
that? Was the sequel to Predator
with no. With what's his name?
Danny Glover.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen it.
There's the shot of LA, and they kind of zoom in on this building. There's this woman just kind of like riding this guy like crazy. She's a porno actress. And then the Predator kills him and strings him up, and she's hiding in the corner.
Huh. Cool. All right, cool. I think that brings our internet only segment.
And Lamb Chop from
what?
The puppet. No, I'm just kidding.
Shirley MacLaine.
All right. Well, that brings our internet only segment to a close. When we come back, we'll be back in not swearing.
When we come back, we'll be back.
For show. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies.
Don't go listen to me.
Oh, that was a rough one.
We came back. We went for 2 weeks without internet-only segments due to technical issues.
And this week we decided to just get drunk and do one.
Yes.
And it was bad.
And we're over 21. So
I feel ashamed.
You should be ashamed.
I feel violated as well. Which
you should be violated.
It's shame and violation. It's, wow. Anyways.
Had a lot of movies to recommend.
Yeah, so yeah, because I mean we had Zach and Miri make a porno this week, so we talked a little bit about something mentioned in that title, and we also it's Halloween, so we talked about scary movies and stuff.
Boo.
We kind of mixed the two, I think. So moving on, it's time for our DVD roundup. So Kevin, what's your pick this week?
My pick is the Mystery Science Theater 3000 20th anniversary box set.
Whew, that is a mouthful.
That is a mouthful.
That's what she said.
No comment. Anywho, this one is four previously unreleased episodes of the classic series, and it also has little figurines.
Four unreleased? I thought it was four favorites.
Well, they've never been released on DVD.
Oh, okay.
Because you can get like EGA and that kind of things and old ones. But this is like first spaceship to Venus.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And werewolf. The stuff from these, some from the old days and some from the Sci-Fi Channel days. And it also has lobby cards. It has some collectibles in it. Yeah. And cool. If you go to Film School Rejects and search MST3K, you can find my interview with Joel Hodgson's and Jim Mallon from Mystery Science Theater.
Wicked, man.
Yeah.
All right, my pick this week is Hellride.
Tinkerbell.
It's not Tinkerbell, man. I have this new theory about my Disney Blu-rays that Disney's been hooking me up with some Blu-ray discs. I didn't ask for them.
So you're only going to watch stuff like Coyote Ugly when they send it to you?
I did. But I've decided that I'm no longer going to open them because I want to collect them. So Tinkerbell, I haven't even opened it yet. That was funnier earlier in the week. It's not funny now, apparently.
Somehow.
It was a really funny joke early in the week in my mind. But my pick is Hellride.
You worked on that all day.
And we've talked.
I'm not going to open Tinkerbell.
He made sure not to pack the mirror because he wanted to practice. So I didn't open it.
And he literally, you didn't see this because you're listening to but he put his arms out to the side like, ta-da!
And he did a curtsy.
Actually, he ran back into the room, put on a skirt, and then came out and curtsied.
Anyways, so Hellride's my pick. It is it's kind of a lot of fun if you're into the just crazy biker movies with a lot of guns and breastises and... Well, like it's
vestiges.
I think you should use your actual quote, Neil.
What's your quote that was on the advertisements? Don't worry, we can bleep it out.
It was, I don't know.
It's bleeped out.
No, I have it in my DVDs I bought this week, column, so I can call on it right now.
All right, well, continue to talk about how awesome Hellraiser
is. But basically, it's a movie about a biker, and he shoots people and stuff, and then it breaks out into a huge orgy in the middle. So,
here comes my quote. Isn't he getting
in the Hellraiser?
He's getting revenge for somebody killing his girlfriend or something.
Right.
Here it is. This is Neil Miller.
A fantastic display of blood, boobs, and crazy shit. Yeah, so there you go. Plenty of that. So, yeah, there you go. Brian, what's your pick?
Baraka.
Barack Obama?
No.
Ba-dum-bum.
Oh my God. Like, and what you guys don't know is that they did this before when I brought up Baraka.
We did this during the break.
And it's even funnier a second time. No, but for any of you guys who don't know, the guy who did Kronos in the 80s.
Nope,
the same
no.
Kronos, the time-lapse photography.
We've obviously never met.
What are you talking about?
You don't know what I'm talking about? Kronos?
No,
it was a time-lapse.
I know Kronos the Vampire Hunter. Anyways. And I know Kronos, the movie about the giant electrical capacitor that it
No, not the Guillermo del Toro movie.
That one, too.
No, Kronos, 1985. It was a time-lapse photography film.
About what?
It was just scenery in
oh,
time-lapse photography.
Riveting.
It's just boring?
No, but listen, at the time, Baraka was, it was filmed in 1992, 24 different countries. Basically, they went and they shot in 70mm digital. At the time, it was the highest quality print you could make.
And now you can do it on your home video camera.
Sorry. And basically, the way that they mastered it, it's the highest quality video Blu-ray available.
Whoa.
So if you want to see the absolute most,
it's like super high definition.
It is.
So if you can go up and lick the screen, it's kind of like the
DVD equivalent of Super AIDS. That's what you're saying.
What? Except it doesn't kill you.
It might. Brian hasn't gotten all the way to the end yet.
I'm just.
Yeah,
I'm,
exactly.
I'm trying.
So when it comes Tuesday, you're going to vote for Baraka.
It was this past Tuesday.
It doesn't get old.
I bought it.
What's our stinker of the week?
What's funny is there's a lot of DVDs out this week, but none of them that just like really, really just incite hatred from me. I know you threw in a couple for a void, but I finally found they're coming out with the Best of Charles in Charge.
Oh,
a one disc set with 9 episodes.
The best of. It's actually a clip downloadable.
Well, I mean, like,
for $2.99.
Can you say any of this?
It's on iTunes.
Is any episode of Charles in Charge the best of anything?
I don't know.
That's my question.
I don't know. All right, cool. So that's the DVD roundup. Review wrap up time. The Haunting of Molly Hartley gets a preemptive suck. Because we didn't see, none of us got a chance to see it. We didn't even get a chance to not go see it.
I was specifically told by the publicist we're not allowed.
Yep. Changeling, Kevin saw it and said.
Kind of rocks.
I saw Zach and Miriam make a porno along with the Kevin, and I said it totally rocks.
I said it rocks.
And Rock and Rolla?
Kind of rocks.
I said it totally rocks. And What Just Happened, which I said kind of sucks.
Sucked.
All right, next week we've got all kinds of fun. We got Madagascar 2, Soul Men, and Role Models, which I actually have seen around. It's really fun. In between now and then, if you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysthemovies.com. You can call us, 614-388-8735. You can email us, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com, and get us on iTunes. Get your reviews in. Adios.
Nice.